Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All day tomorrow, the University of Buffalo is hosting a Safe Schools initiative, a seminar for local school districts and regional districts across most of the Northeast. In studio with us this morning is Amanda Nickerson. She's director of the Alberti Center. She's an expert on school crisis prevention and intervention. We're glad you could be here, Amanda. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about tomorrow. Who is this for?
This is really for law enforcement as well as educators. So this unique forum that we've had really tries to bring together those two groups.
How long have you been doing this for, and how has this changed over the years?
This is our 15th annual, so we're very excited about it. I myself have only, this is my sixth year being involved. And it really started with an initiative with the U.S. Secret Service, and a lot of the focus was on how can we deal with threats that happen in our school community, and how can we bring law enforcement and educators together. I think we've stayed true to that mission throughout, but we've definitely explored issues of how do we make safe schoolers make schools safe on a daily basis. How do we protect them from bullying, from gang violence, and things like that. This year we decided to focus on what happens after an event. So we'll be joined by Michelle Gay, who is a mother of Josephine, who died in the Sandy Hook shooting, and she's become an advocate for school safety. So she'll be talking about her personal story and recovery from that, and what she's doing in her Safe and Sound Schools organization to really prevent these kinds of things in the future.
But how about the timing of this occurring basically a month after Parkland,
right? Right.
So you're bringing all these people in together, the law enforcers, the educators, you've got these great national speakers too. And there's other things you're getting into, like mental health, right?
Yes.
Can you talk about how you're going to be delving into that?
Sure. Yeah. So in addition to Michelle Gay from Safe and Sound Schools, we'll also be joined by Mo Kennedy, who's the executive director of the National Association of School Resource Officers. And I think Michelle and Mo are a perfect example of how education and law enforcement can partner on these issues. We decided to focus on mental health in part, again, from a preventive angle. Schools more and more are looking at how do we recognize signs of mental health issues early on, and what can we do to intervene? So they'll be talking about how do we address that? How do we understand some of the biological factors? How do we provide developmentally appropriate education to students to teach them about what they might look for signs in themselves and others? And finally, how do we de-escalate as adult situations that may be where someone is escalating in terms of conflict or violence, and what can we do to, instead of escalating that, making sure that we can calm that person down and get them the help that they need.
Has that been more of a topic of conversation as the years have gone on? You know, we think of so much being emphasized on, you know, what to do in case of whether it's an active shooter or some sort of event and all the preparation that goes into that. But are maybe people asking now more about, well, even before that happens, what can we do to identify some of these traits, somebody who's in trouble?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is a shift. I mean, some of us, I'm in the field of psychology and mental health, and we've always been very interested in prevention. How do you stop these things before they happen? And really, just like any other public safety issue, whether it's car accidents, whether it's flu, illness, we start at the prevention level. What is it that we can do very early on to first stop these things from happening in the first place, but then recognize signs of trouble and then intervene accordingly? Because by the time we're getting into preparing our kids for this to happen, first of all, thankfully, believe it or not, it's still very, very rare that a student will be killed at school. School is still one of the safest places for our youth to be. So although we need to focus on what to do in those very unlikely events, there's a lot that we can do much more early on if we're prepared.
We're joined live in studio by Amanda Nickerson, director of the Alberti Center over at UB. They're having a big seminar tomorrow, School Crisis Prevention and Intervention. And when we talk about things like this, usually the focus goes right to whether it's active shooter training or something, getting police on the same page as schools. But really, this is more of an all-encompassing event. Bullying also a focus. Can you kind of sort out the different issues that are going to be addressed with local law enforcement tomorrow?
Sure. Well, we'll be starting off with Michelle Gay talking about her story of her daughter's death at Sandy Hook, but really beyond tragedy, what did she learn? What have we learned about responding and recovering? We'll then be taking a break and moving into a question and answer with her so our very diverse audience can ask questions on their mind. Next, we'll have Mo Kennedy addressing collaboration between education and law enforcement. So how can we work more closely together with a particular focus on the role of the school resource officer in schools? After lunch, again, we'll be addressing mental health and safety with adolescents, and the focus will really be on understanding the adolescent brain. For those of us who live with adolescents, we are trying to do that on a daily basis, but what is it that makes them so prone to risk and risk-taking, and how do we better understand that when working with adolescents? We'll then move into developmentally appropriate education. How do you work with even young kids about safety awareness and mental health? And then finally, how do we de-escalate situations where someone may be escalating and may pose a risk to themselves or others?
All right. And, you know, when you talk about education and law enforcement working together, this collaboration, is it something that needs work, that they don't generally work together? They haven't it previously?
I think it depends where you are. We have schools in our area that work very closely with their local law enforcement, whether it is how to do drills, how to respond to incidents. I think that it's, as with anything, it's a work in progress. The role of the school resource officer, I think, is still misunderstood by many, that a law enforcement agent in a school can have multiple roles. They're both representing law enforcement, but can also really help preventatively and help promote a positive school climate in their everyday interactions and teachings that they have with students. So I think that there's a lot of good work and collaboration that is done, but education and law enforcement are different fields and different worlds, and we come from different perspectives. So the more that we can help to break down some of those barriers and learn how to collaborate better, the better.
Amanda Nickerson is with us in studio. She is director of the Alberti Center at the University of Buffalo, and there's a Safe Schools Initiative seminar tomorrow, all day tomorrow, between law enforcement and educators. It's local and it's even national. There are many coming in from outside of Western New York, really, for this special collaboration, Amanda. And there's room for more, right?
There are. We have about 500 more this year than we did last year. We're expecting about 1,400. And unless UB tells me otherwise, we can still take more.
Now, I would have to imagine with all the different people you get from different areas and different fields, too, that the questions that are asked of some of the speakers can, you know, vary. Even though it's one person answering, there's a lot of different things that people want to know. It probably creates kind of an interesting forum.
It does. We have people that moderate the questions really well, and we're going to be using social media as well to be able to see the kinds of questions coming in and ask some real targeted questions. But it is a really diverse audience, and each question and speaker brings a different perspective, really.
How has Parkland changed or even influenced the agenda for tomorrow?
Yeah, good question. The agenda was set long before Parkland, but I think, as with anything, it's very timely. It's going to be on people's minds. I am imagining that many of the questions will be with that on people's minds, and will be quite willing to address that. I think the advocacy that we continue to see across the country, particularly from youth, will be first and foremost in our minds. And I think it's really timely. Again, this was prepared long before, but that we are focusing so much on adolescents and developmentally appropriate issues.
We are joined in studio by Amanda Nickerson talking about the Safe Schools Initiative seminar going on at the University of Buffalo tomorrow. And Amanda, you know, in this conversation following Parkland, it's really revolved around two things, guns and mental health. Guns and mental health, that's kind of what you hear. But is there room for something else in that discussion? I know you've focused a lot in your career on bullying and intervention in that. Does that have a role? Things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when we have the broader discussion about school safety, I always go back to the report that was done by the U.S. Secret Service of the school shooters. It's a bit dated now, but what they did was they studied 37 school shooters and said, what was it about them? And they said there's no profile, but they did discover several things that they had in common. And one of the things was that over two-thirds of them had at least perceived themselves to be bullied, persecuted, ostracized, if you will, by their peers. So that was one of the factors that we do look at. And quite frankly, it's why we have so much attention to bullying now, is some of the high-profile school shootings as well as suicides that have seemed to be tied in some way to bullying.
Yeah, you talk about the suicides and the fact that they have been rising so much in recent years.
Suicides and right.
But especially among kids in school.
Right. Yeah, it's really a concern. And quite frankly, I'm a little bit surprised in the attention to the gun control issues that suicide isn't being brought up more, because we know that access to weapons makes suicide so much more likely and so much more likely to complete. Right here in Erie County, we're very active, and in New York on suicide prevention, and really trying to look at comprehensively this issue of suicide. And again, it goes back very closely to tomorrow in developmentally appropriate education about mental health, because we know that suicide is 90% of the time because of an underdiagnosed or undertreated mental illness. And we also know that treatment can be very effective to prevent this problem from happening.
You mentioned, I believe it was 15 years this seminar has been going on, and yet I'd imagine there's no shortage of things to talk about. Does something new in this school safety topic come up every single year for people to focus on?
Yeah, we have more than enough topics that we could be addressing. Ever present is social media and how that ties in, gang violence, bullying. There's so many. When we ask people after the seminar what they would like addressed, there's so many topics, and because it's so diverse, we actually don't have a lot of topics that rise to the surface. So there's really no shortage of topics that we could cover.
When you think back to 15 years ago when this started, I mean, the crises at the time have to be so much different then as they are now, right?
Yeah, well, I think that technology is the thing that I don't know if the crises are maybe the attention to them and things like that. But one thing that I've noticed over time is really for educators and law enforcement, the role of technology for the good and bad, how it's made things so much easier in some ways to get the word out and to notice things, but how it's just made things so much more complicated in terms of youth and schools and how to monitor and how to really work with making good choices on social media as well.
We were speaking with one superintendent a couple weeks ago who said that most of their problems end up, whether it's on social media, that's how they begin, or that's where they go from the school halls to social media. Is it difficult for people to monitor that? Because there's so many accounts. I would imagine there's no one magic app where you have your entire school's account information on Instagram, Twitter, and everything else. That has to be troubling and tiresome for a lot of administrators.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There are different software packages and things that can run social media and look at different keywords and things, but this is also being done on people's personal devices as well, and there's a lot of issues with that. I think the role of schools and administrators has changed a lot with the amount of time that they're spending on those issues. And it used to be that what happens outside of school, you know, that's not really the role of the school. But now we've made it really clear that if cyberbullying, for instance, or threats affect the learning in schools, then it absolutely is the role and responsibility of the school as well.
Yeah, the outside environment, certainly a major factor. All right, so this is going on again all day tomorrow. It's for local school districts as well as national. You have 1,400 and accepting more. How can people find out more?
Yeah, there is a website that I believe is going to be posted. They can click right on there, find out more. And again, it's for school professionals, educators, law enforcement. We also have several from local colleges and universities that will be there too.
And we'll have that information. It's already at WBEN.com when you look on the story this morning if you're interested in the seminar.
Hey, Amanda, thank you so much for stopping in studio. That's Amanda Nickerson, director of the Alberti Center, talking about tomorrow's seminar at the University at Buffalo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.